And everybody up here is whether you believe people can be free to make choices or whether you have to make decisions for them. And I believe seniors, just like every other American, should be free to make the choices in their health care plan that's best for them.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Today, most people are more likely to get a pay cut than a cost of living raise. But I have good news for you. You can build your own golden parachute. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, and I think you'll find that the three-step plan home business system is a great solution to money worries. You can add to your income in your spare time. For information, go to 3-STEP-USA or call 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102.
It may still be a day or two before Nome gets the fuel it needs for the winter. With more, here's correspondent Shirley Smith.
It's a slow process, cutting a pathway through thick ice in the Bering Sea as the U.S. Coast Guard clears the way for a Russian tanker carrying fuel to Nome.
They're making about 5 knots speed, and they're encountering ice anywhere from about 6 inches to 2.5 feet in thickness.
Coast Guard Lieutenant Bernie Auth.
It's necessary to bring the fuel in there because it was supposed to get delivered earlier in the fall or winter, and due to weather, they were unable to get that fuel to them.
The Russian tanker is hauling more than 1.3 million gallons of fuel.
Police in Britain have identified the body found on the Queen's estate. Correspondent Rosalind Tunnicliffe reports.
The remains of a woman found on one of Queen Elizabeth's vast estates belongs to a 17-year-old missing girl, British police investigating the murder said. Forensic tests identified the decomposed body as that of Latvian Elisa Dmitrieva, who was reported missing from her home in eastern England in August 2011, police said. The body was found by a dog walker on New Year's Day in woodland 5 kilometres from the royal residence at Sandringham House.
Tony Blankley, a conservative author and commentator who served as press secretary to Newt Gingrich during the Republican takeover of Congress in the 1990s, has died. He was 63. Blankley's wife, Linda Davis, says he died Saturday night at Sibley Memorial Hospital in Washington. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million-bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Happy New Year to you. I hope it will be a great year for our animal friends as well. We have a really interesting show for you today. Later in the hour, Peter will be speaking with Gary Manser, who with his wife operates with this camp called Camp Bow Wow. It's Camp Bow Wow Portland. And Camp Bow Wow is actually a chain of pet care facilities. And as part of their mission, they work to get homeless dogs adopted. The Bow Wow Portland story is really interesting because they've been so successful in getting so many dogs into their new homes. So later in the hour, we're going to find out what they do and how they do it so well. But first, if you know anything about dogs and cats in our country, you probably are aware of the huge pet overpopulation problem we face. Unfortunately and tragically, there simply are not enough homes for all the dogs and cats who flood the shelters around the country on a daily basis. And even though we hear about no-kill shelters and we hope that most of the animals will find homes, the reality is that millions of adoptable and healthy dogs and cats are killed in our country's shelters every year. There's just no place for them to go. Now, how are these animals actually destroyed? Have you ever thought about the means by which the dogs and cats are killed in your local shelters? It's sad enough trying to contemplate that we are killing over 5 million dogs and cats annually in the United States, but how we go about killing them is something not many of us really want to think about. But it occurs so regularly that the methods that are employed and whether the animals die in a peaceful state or in a state of terror should be and are legitimate concerns for people who care about them. An amazing story happened recently in which a dog who was to be euthanized in a gas chamber in Florence, Alabama, miraculously survived. And in a story we are about to hear, went on to become a wonderful and very special family companion animal. So now I'm very pleased to introduce our two guests for this segment, Senator Andy Dinneman, who represents Pennsylvania's 19th District, and Joe Dwyer, certified dog trainer, motivational speaker, animal advocate, and the new guardian of Daniel, the beagle, who is at the center of this story. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Joe, starting with you, we have been calling your dog Daniel the Wonder Dog around here. Why don't you begin by telling us Daniel's story and how he came to be a member of your family?
Daniel's story is nothing short of a miracle. The story as it has been relayed to us is that he, along with approximately 17 other dogs, was put into a gas chamber in Florence, Alabama, as you just noted. But when the door opened, 17 were dead, unfortunately, but Daniel was standing there wagging his tail. They thought for sure that he would perish during the night from ingesting the gas, but in fact, the next morning, although a little wobbly, he was still wagging his tail. They didn't have the heart to kill him, thankfully, and now he made his way to Tennessee, where he was given veterinary care at a Schnauzer rescue organization. And then 11th Hour Rescue, who I know here in the state of New Jersey, made arrangements to transport him to New Jersey and adopt him into a home. We put in an application. We went through the procedures. We had a couple meet and greets with our existing four dogs, four rescues that we already had in our home. And, well, five is a nice even number, right, or a nice round number, I should say. So Daniel rounded out our family quite nicely, and as of November the 13th, he was a member of our family.
And he's adjusting well, huh?
He's adjusting incredibly well. I think we worry more than we should when it comes to animals. That's one of the many lessons they could certainly provide to us, is that they get along much quicker and develop relationships a lot stronger than we humans do. And that was proven here in our home as Daniel just integrated himself in with everybody. And I can tell you by November 13th, which was the date I just said, when we attended the rally, only a few days after he arrived in our home, we attended a rally in Pennsylvania for Daniel's Law. He was already adjusted, which is a credit to him and the other dogs in our house.
Yeah. Senator Andy Dinneman, how did you become aware of the use of carbon dioxide gas chambers for dog-cat euthanasia in Pennsylvania?
Well, there are still several shelters that were using that means, and I thought it to be very wrong. So I presented a legislation which would eliminate the use of carbon dioxide, also would prevent electrocution of dogs. And to do that, we have to change Pennsylvania law. You know, in Pennsylvania, based on the dog law of 1983, it is perfectly legal to take your car, hook a hose to the tailpipe, put the dog in a bin, and kill the dog in that fashion.
Oh, my God.
In fact, the law, even only regulation the law has, is you're not supposed to be over 115 degrees in the gas coming out of the engine. That's wrong. That's horrible. So we have regulations now that say that in any shelter, you first you are to use injection, which is the most humane approach, and we also try to have as many of our veterinarians in their private clinics also do the same process.
So This is to you, Senator, or Joe. Why do you think facilities continue to use gassing as their primary method of euthanasia? And what would you guys say are the problems with using gas? Why is it so inhumane?
Well, it's inhumane because of the way the dog dies, because it takes an extended period of time, because it's painful. It's also quite dangerous, even to those personnel in a shelter. But I believe it's used because of tradition, because people think it's cheaper when it's not, and
right.
And we just have to stop it. One of the key points that has to be made is that the way we treat animals is a reflection of the way we treat ourselves. Every
right.
study has shown if we treat animals in violent, inhumane ways, it is the same people who do that that also create violence towards other people.
Absolutely. It's a well-known link, Senator, between abuse of animals and human violence, and you're absolutely right. I can't agree with you more. Senator Dinneman, you have recently passed Daniel's Law in the Pennsylvania State Senate
leadership. We've passed it through the through committee, which is the Agriculture and Rural Affairs Committee. And, you know, in Pennsylvania, dogs are under the Department of Agriculture, and that itself is a problem. Because when they put it under agriculture, they were looking at dogs as a commodity, not as a member of the family. But it's a difficult committee to get this legislation through. We succeeded, and now we're on our way to get it through the whole Senate.
Okay, so tell us briefly, what does the law provide for? And also, please tell us, Senator, the response of both your constituents and peers in Congress.
Well, the law says that you must use injection, I think it's sodium pentothal, as the first, and you cannot use another option. If the animal is uncontrollable, then there are potential of other options, but only if they're approved, as totally approved by the American Veterinary Association. It also limits what veterinarians can do in terms of euthanasia, and it also says that a veterinarian must make available to any of its clients what their procedures are. We've had a tremendous outpouring of support. That's how I met Daniel. We had a rally here in Pennsylvania where over 400 people showed up with their dogs, and our hero was Daniel. He has become, in Pennsylvania, the symbol of the necessity to change the inhumane way we treat animals, and Daniel's a wonderful dog and a wonderful symbol.
Mm. In the last few seconds to this to the segment, Senator or Joe, how many states or what states still are permitting carbon dioxide gas chambers?
Well, there are 19 states that have outlawed it, so we would be the 20th. That means that the other 30 states allow it. So this is part of a national movement. We're proud in Pennsylvania to join in that movement, and Daniel is the symbol of that movement.
I might just add to that that Senator has also brought up a fact that very few people know. Having been a motivational speaker now for several years and an animal rights advocate for many more, just about every person that I've spoken with has no idea how widespread the gas chamber is used in our country.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's horrified by it.
We got to take a break. Very good point, Senator Andy Dinneman, and we're talking to Joe Dwyer about Daniel's Law. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
Jay Farner here. Happy New Year from Quicken Loans. Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Senator Andy Dinneman, who represents Pennsylvania's 19th district, and Joe Dwyer, the guardian of the center of the story that we're speaking about, this beagle, this dog, Daniel, who survived the gas chamber in Alabama. And just before the break, Joe, you made a really good point that there's just so many people out there that don't know that this way of euthanasia, the gassing animals to death, even exists. And I was shocked to learn how many states still use this method of killing our dogs and cats. I mean, it's incredible to think about just throw dogs and cats together in one room and just gas them until they're all, you know, until they all suffocate. It's incredible the panic that must be in that room. Senator, for individuals who live in these states that still permit these gassings, what can they do to end this means of euthanasia?
Well, they need to organize within their state. And then, you know, find a state senator or a state representative who is friendly to their point of view, who cares and loves animals like I do, and then go forward with the legislation. what has happened in Pennsylvania, even on a tough committee as the Agricultural Committee, is when the citizens spoke up and when they made it clear that they wanted change, we got it through the committee unanimously. At first, we had difficulties, but once the citizens and the voters spoke up, it went through with ease, and I believe will go through the Senate with ease. Just as Joe was saying, and you were saying, people are not aware, and when they become aware, we can create change. If any of your listeners are here in Pennsylvania, they are certainly welcome to call my office in Harrisburg or here in Westchester, and we will help them, and we can help organize this effort.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Joe Dwyer, please tell us how Daniel the Beagle, under your guidance and utilizing your skills of persuasion, is spreading the word about the cruelty of gassing animals and also promoting compassionate treatment of all animals.
Well, Dr. Laurie, I think Daniel stands on many stages. The gas chamber is only stage one in my mind, and I believe that use of social media like his Facebook page and his website has already attracted people that have contacted me from other states. I have said something very similar to what Senator Dinneman just said about contacting their local representatives and putting the push on. But I'd also be thrilled, as we did in Pennsylvania, to bring Daniel, who is a very visible and tells his own story through his incredibly great attitude and the way he greets people. I think that would be a wonderful way to bring him around the country to start this movement. I've also recently decided that writing a book about his story, which his story is already unfolded into a beautiful couple of chapters of really great information, motivating and inspirational, that could also be used to spread the word to do this. But that's just the beginning, because from there, we really need to promote adoptions, because I know in your opening comments you said we have an overpopulation problem, and in fact, we do, but the reality is that there are the number of animals that are killed every year, there's still homes that look for animals that exceed that number every year. So we can really promote adoptions through Daniel's story, because he's a perfect example of that. He's also a great witness to collaboration with the many groups like Pilots and Paws, who arranged his transport from Tennessee to New Jersey, 11th hour, and then adopting him into our home. That was a great story in itself, where people came together before they knew he was going to be famous, I might add, and bring this story to the forefront and really made a difference in his life, and that could be made in many animals' lives.
Yeah.
And finally, Senator mentioned it earlier about how the wording in the state of Pennsylvania, but I'm of a strong belief, and I'm trying to send the message that, and you've been saying it all along as you've introduced me, and I'm pleased that you did, I'm his guardian, my family and I. We do not own him. He is part of our family. And when we bring the level of respect for the animals in our community to that level of family members, I think that brings us to where we need to go.
What Joe says is very important, because if animals are looked upon simply as a commodity, there will these inhumane laws will continue. But if we help people understand that animals are intricate members of our own family, it is through our dogs and cats and other pets that we can learn to be more human, that we can learn the importance of relationships, then we will see the results in more humane treatment of animals and an increase in adoption. So Daniel does have two roles. By the way, he's a wonderful dog. He carries himself beautifully. He's friendly, and he himself is a symbol of this movement to end gas chambers not only in Pennsylvania but throughout the United States.
And I'm sure if Daniel wasn't a wonderful, social, beautiful beagle, if he was a scared, timid pit bull, you guys would still be out doing the exact same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And but, you know, the story is so tremendous that this dog survived, and today this dog is a symbol. It was just this. We were planning this rally. We were working on this bill, the rally in support of the bill, and then we read the story of Daniel. It just became one of these miraculous events in which a symbol, a real live dog who has survived, came and inspired all of us.
Yes,
yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
We would definitely be doing the same thing, irregardless of his breed and irregardless of his temperament. But, you know, when the people who say that everything happens for a reason, you know, he's a perfect witness to that, that, you know, his attitude and his personality really brings his story to another level. There's no doubt about it. And I'm convinced that people who maybe ordinarily would be on the fence, you know, is this something I really want to be a part of? And, you know, going along with ending this form of killing for animals, the people who, you know, are not, say, of the same thought process as we are, I believe that his incredible attitude is maybe pushing people on the other side of that fence. And that motivates me, and hopefully it motivates many other people in our country to taking action.
Joe and Senator, we only have 1 minute left, so real quick, Joe, you mentioned 11th hour rescue twice in this interview, and for my listeners, and I actually didn't know as well until I looked them up, what is 11th hour rescue?
11th hour rescue is headed up by Linda Schiller. She's the president. I'm now working with them. They're building a new facility, and the reason they're building a new facility in Rockaway, New Jersey, which is western Jersey, is because they have done such wonderful work in saving animals' lives and making them part of families. They're a rescue group like there are lots of rescue groups in our country, but I can tell you that I work with them personally, and they work tirelessly to place animals in homes, make the right matches. They travel, obviously, in Daniel's case being a perfect example. They're willing to take animals from other parts of the country and adopt them into homes around in our area. So they're a wonderful rescue organization, and I give them tons of credit for what they do.
Senator Andy Dinneman and Joe Dwyer, thank you for all your efforts on behalf of the animals, and thanks for appearing on Animals Today.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try better than ever Proactiv solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Chapstick asks, do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry?
Hey, this is Tatiana, and I say yes, green apple is better. Cherry is just so expected, like the world tasted cherry and forgot to taste anything else. A green apple kiss stands out. It's got lots of moisturizers, so it's always softer and smoother. Because I want the guy who's kissing me to know it's Tatiana who's kissing him back.
Do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry? Why not kiss with both and have your say at facebook.com/chapstick? Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow
crabs. Are you sand or snow? Blows. Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at facebook.com/chapstick.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We recently learned about the success of this one particular dog boarding facility in Portland that's been really effective in helping get dogs adopted. And, you know, I love these kind of stories where a business and a charitable work sort of coincide, especially when it's related to animals. So I want to welcome Gary Manser, who, with his wife Jill, they own and operate Camp Bow Wow Portland, and he's going to tell us about what they're doing up there. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you.
So why don't you just start from the beginning. Explain to us what Camp Bow Wow is.
Well, Camp Bow Wow primarily is a doggy daycare and boarding facility. It was founded, it's a franchise, it was founded in the year 2000. And there's over 150 locations across the country now. And it's also branched out into home care, so it's not just in camp, boarding and daycare. It's also training, and the new home care is called Home Buddies. Yep. But right from the beginning, one thing that's been an important linchpin of Camp Bow Wow is a charitable foster program. There's now a foundation that Heidi, the original founder, created mm-hmm. called the Bow Wow Buddies Foundation, which has far-reaching impact in pets everywhere through, you know, supporting foster and rehoming efforts, spay and neuter, disaster assistance, cancer canine cancer research, and things like that.
Very good. I found it very interesting, and maybe you can expand on this a little bit, that from the beginning of the concept of this franchise, they was this notion that there should be some effort to help the homeless dogs and cats. Is that part of the sort of business plan?
Absolutely. You know, when we first looked into Camp Bow Wow and left the corporate life to have a business of our own, one of the big attractions for us, you know, we were both avid dog lovers, so this looked like the perfect job for us. And really what sold us is when we took a trip out to Boulder, Colorado, to meet with Heidi and her team, is how passionate they were about not just the business, but the nonprofit part of the business, the giving back to the community part of the business. And, you know, that really hit home with us and was really the thing that sold the deal.
Oh, interesting. And do you think that's attractive to many of the other franchisees as well?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, there's a great group of franchisees across the country, and I believe every one of them offers an in-camp foster dog program, some smaller or larger than others, but it is a part of the business plan. And I've met with them at, you know, a lot of different franchisees at national meetings that we have every so often. And there is a lot of passion throughout the system for helping, especially dogs, but animals in need in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just love that when it comes together like that. Now, the reason why we got to meet you today is when we learned about this fabulous year you had of working to be responsible to get at least 100 dogs adopted during this past year. So am I correct in stating that? And tell us about how that happened.
Yeah, we in 2010, we helped to find homes for 44 of our foster dogs, and we thought that was pretty good. And we said, well, let's go for it in 2011. Let's at least double that. And doubling it was 88, and that sounded a bit like a silly number, so we just rounded up to 100. And we have quite a number of great rescue partners, that some are breed-specific, some aren't, that were willing to really work with us. And, you know, and we just stepped up our level of assistance to them, and they were fired up about it. So, you know, right from the beginning of January, we had that goal of let's get 100 of our foster dogs rehomed and into families where they belong. And we ended up at 102.
102. Fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And can you tell us how you do it? Do you have the dogs living in your facility as you're trying to get them rehomed? And what efforts do you make to really get the process really ignited? What did you do to go from 44 to 100 that people can take away and use in their own world?
Yeah, for the most part, nearly all of the dogs, there are a couple of dogs that just come to us for daycare because their foster home, you know, maybe has a regular job that they have to go to during the day. So, you know, anything we can do to help them to keep a foster dog in foster care until they find the correct family. So they do live with us. We buy all the food. So we try to minimize the financial impact as much as possible to the rescue organizations. We take them to any charitable events that we go to, and that's how a lot of the adoptions happened. Mm. Especially, you know, Maine is mostly, it's only warm from maybe May through October. So that's when most of the dog events happen here. So whenever we go to one of those trade shows or events, we're always bringing foster dogs with us. We promote them in camp by little placards inside or signage. We put them on our homepage. They're on our Facebook. And one of the biggest resources of our rehoming efforts has been this year is where we really started to step it up was with our own current customers, our clients. You know, we would tell them.
Oh, repeat business.
Exactly. If they had a friend, you know, sometimes they would casually mention, hey, we've got a friend that's looking for a small 20-pound furry kind of dog that's white. And we'd say, okay. And we'd go find one for him. And there's an advantage, too, of having them in camp that, you know, we socialize them with other dogs. We can tell how they get along with other dogs. And we have a great staff of employees, too, who regularly take these foster dogs home for a night or two or sometimes longer. Mm-hmm. They keep bringing them to camp every day, but they can test them with kids or cats or just how they react in a home environment after being in our in our camp for a little while. So we can give a lot of really positive or accurate feedback about how these dogs react to various situations, which is really helpful. I mean, it's not, adopting a dog is not like going out and picking out a new shirt or something like that. It's a it's a lifelong commitment for the life of the dog, and you really want to make sure that you find the correct home for them.
Well, that's fabulous how this all comes together. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about the concept of franchising a business like this. Why would a person who wants to open a pet care facility or a doggy daycare would want to get involved in a franchise like this rather than just doing it on their own? It's obviously been a nice experience for you. What would you? How would you sell this to someone?
Yeah, for us it was, I'm in my 50s now. And I'd done the corporate thing for pretty much my entire life. And, I was even at an executive level, people would say, probably. And it was nice to know, once we checked everything out about how they were organized and how successful they were and things like that. But it was nice after setting the strategies and everything for all those years to find a franchisor who had really gone through, years of learning from starting off with just a few camps to now growing to, over 100, that they've made improvements all along the way. And one of the, there's a lot of good things about being a franchisee, that you get the connections, of course, you get the proven systems, and you get the buying power, when you have to buy supplies of having not just you being on your own, but having a lot of national presence really across the country.
Yes.
But the biggest thing really is, just having a proven system available to you that you can buy into and start using that really worked out well for us. And like I said at the very beginning, what separates this franchise, I think, from others is the charitable efforts and how that is really a part of the business plan. And it's really rare, I think, to find that, especially in a business like this where it's not a huge business right now, but it's growing a lot.
And anyone who looks at any of the websites is going to feel the positive vibes. I went and looked at a couple of dogs online on the doggy cam, and it's just a delightful thing. Gary Mansour, Camp Bow Wow Portland, great work. Congratulations, and have a great 2012 adoption success.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org. Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition. Better eggs.
Jay Farner here. Happy New Year from Quicken Loans. Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Welcome back to the show. How are you, Peter?
Hey, great. How are you?
Yeah, that was a really interesting interview. Very interesting story.
Yeah.
Both of the stories were interesting.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And
so
you know I love these business stories that do good for the animals.
I know.
Because when we retire, What a great second career for an executive, isn't
right.
it?
But you make a good point. It's nice to, if you have a business, to actually have this side that does good for the animals.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, or some social good.
And imagine the job, the employee, and you're interviewing for employees at a place like that. They've got to really feel the love if you're going to get a job in a place like that.
But then
taking the animals home, and it's got to be constantly on their mind.
Yeah.
How are we going to? It's got to infect
the place. Yeah, but it's a happy environment versus a shelter, which is not such a happy environment, you know?
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
So what's going on in the news these
so,
days?
So in California, as of the new year, it's now illegal to sell puppies, kittens, and other animals on public property, street corners and boardwalks across California. You know, we've seen these, and we know, especially in Los Angeles and San Diego, you can just buy an animal on the street. And
they're all over.
Yeah, well, now they're illegal.
That's so great.
Yes.
So if we see someone in front of the supermarket with their pickup truck with the puppies in the back, that's illegal.
That's right.
That's so great.
That's right. Now, unfortunately, the law doesn't prevent people from giving away the animals, but that doesn't seem to be as big a problem.
So they can be there in front of the supermarket and give them away? They just can't sell them?
Right.
Oh, no. That's wrong.
So, well, that's just right. And
that's so wrong.
The legislators were hoping that it would ban giveaway animals too, but they weren't able to get that part. First offense is subject to a $250 fine. Second offense, $1,000 fine, according to the bill. And you know, in San Diego, there's a big problem with dogs being smuggled across the border from Mexico, and then they are sold right there. So this will hopefully put an end to that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. First step is always good.
Right. In the North Carolina State Fair, E. coli broke out. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
So it's 3 months later.
What was the source?
Okay. The source was felt to be, and it took them a while to figure this out, some live animal exhibits. So they've got goats, pigs, sheep, kept during the livestock competitions in a structure, and the people were not supposed to touch these animals, but of those who got sick, and some of them got violently ill, 25% said they actually did touch the animals.
And the other 75% lied.
Oh, perhaps they lied or they got it transmitted. But 8 of the fairgoers became so sick that they required hospitalization.
Wow.
Four developed hemolytic uremic syndrome, a life-threatening complication. And so it's a big deal. Now, in 2004, at the same fair, 187 people got sick, and 15 of them were hospitalized.
Wow.
And so that led to the writing of a law called Aiden's Law, after a kid who almost died following hemolytic uremic syndrome. That was supposed to make the fair get a permit for these events, but obviously that really didn't do anything. So,
and the
E. coli.
Source again, the second time was the live animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live animals, show animals on the way to slaughterhouse, I guess.
Right.
It's a little stop on the way to the plate.
Right.
So be careful if you go to these state fairs and you're innocently going to livestock competitions. You should keep your hands in your pants, I guess. I don't know.
What do they do at livestock competitions? What does
that mean? They want to see how beautiful they are and how fat they are, and
before they get slaughtered.
Yes.
In 2 days from then.
That's my understanding of how this goes down.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, but it does
absolutely ridiculous.
But if nothing else, it does make you remember that our food system is risky, and sometimes this stuff will happen, particularly when you're dealing with animals derived from tightly bred conditions.
That's good. Okay? Good point. Absolutely.
So remember that.
Keep that in mind forever.
And on a semi-related idea, the FDA has just come out with a ban on the use of cephalosporin antibiotics in food animals. And that came about out of a desire to prevent the development of resistance for human diseases.
Right.
So the use of cephalosporins, which is a very important class of antibiotics for people, you know, the growing resistance is developing. And that is felt to derive from its use, widespread use, unnecessary use, the FDA finally agrees, in livestock operations. So now the cephalosporins are, except for limited uses, are not going to be able to be utilized sort of on a routine basis Okay, so they would just feed the animals the antibiotic to help suppress infection and disease. And that happens, of course, because the animals are bred and housed so close to one another in very unnatural. I mean, no one's grazing anymore, right?
Right.
They're all packed in there, right?
Right.
So that leads to the need to constantly have them on antibiotics. So perhaps the taking away this tool will lead to the more humane practices in our food supply. Who knows?
Right. Well, just let me say, Pete, a lot of people don't realize animals aren't just grazing anymore.
Yes.
They don't realize what factory farms truly are and the truth about them.
And they are factories.
And they are truly factories.
And they're horrible.
And they're horrible.
And no one's really, the grazing is an old idea
right.
for the most part.
Right. And the idea is to pack the animals in as packed as you can. And as cheaply as you can to get away with. Very good.
And in the pet